now to the Public Accounts Committee first, Aisling, and the RTÉ Investigates special on the maltreatment of horses came up, and we had the Department of Agriculture, as I said at the outset, the Horse Racing Ireland and the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board in front of the committee. But what did we hear about the controversial abattoir that came up in that?
Yes, so as you said there, this was the abattoir in Strafford in County Kildare that was the focus of an RTÉ Investigates programme last week, and it's Ireland's only active abattoir and has now been suspended since that programme aired. And the programme showed evidence, I suppose, of issues of animal cruelty as well as attempts to launder the identities of horses and compromise the integrity of the food chain, and that was brought up at the CAPAC today. So the Public Accounts Committee, TDs on the committee, asking the officials from the Department of Agriculture, particularly the Deputy Chief Veterinary Officer Michael Sheehan, about this particular abattoir and whether there was enough oversight.
More particularly, not the abattoir itself, but this marriage building beside the abattoir.
So essentially, I mean, and I wouldn't be in the know about how these things work personally, but I suppose there's the farm of the plant, then there's the layerage or the shed, and then there's the abattoir. So the layerage or the shed before they go into the slaughterhouse is what's in question here. Now, the Department of Agriculture was asked about whether there was any oversight or what oversight is there of the plant overall? And I suppose the Department of Agriculture laid out that there is a veterinary officer who oversees the animals before they go in for slaughter, and there had been no red flags raised. There had been no material concerns raised about the condition or animal welfare concerns raised about any of the horses going into slaughter in this slaughterhouse. But they said that the as you say, the layerage, the shed, before they go into that area, hadn't been a subject of an investigation or a subject of a complaint, and they hadn't looked inside it. Now, the farm around the plant had been subject to 5 complaints from the public to the Department of Agriculture. All 5 complaints were investigated. The Deputy Chief Veterinarian Officer told us today at PAC, and he was saying that all of those were investigated and there was no, you know, need for further action in any of those cases. Grounds for prosecution. There was nothing of material issue there when they had investigated it. So that he was talking about those 5 complaints in the last, between 2018 and 2023. And you know, he's saying that there was no welfare issues noted as they were going into the slaughterhouse. And he said also, in hindsight, I suppose, of what has emerged in the last week, that the department has done a lot of soul searching about whether they should have found this issue themselves. But he said there were no red flags raised, but TDs today were frustrated, and I suppose expressed that frustration over how there wasn't sufficient oversight to catch this problem in a shed adjacent to the Ireland's only abattoir.
We actually have, I think we have a clip of the committee's proceedings there to reflect some of that frustration. Here's Michael Sheehan, as you say, Deputy Chief Veterinarian at the Department of Agriculture, answering a question on the oversight at buildings at the abattoir in question, and the question coming from Wexford Independent TD Verona Murphy.
Again, I personally done a good bit of soul searching on this, are there things we should have done differently? And
sure.
It's like with all exposes, you know, people jump on the bandwagon and say, well, you should have known or whatever, whether it's...
Well, now, I think it's pretty relevant, Mr. Sheehan, that animal welfare inspections are conducted where animals are, when they're empty and not there.
I'm not
jumping on the bandwagon.
And not accusing you of jumping on the bandwagon.
Sorry, hold it for a second. Hold it for a second now. The question here is that the curious thing about this is, and I don't think, you know, it's a case of anyone jumping on a bandwagon, is that the farm, you have the powers to go in anywhere, into any field, any premises, any shed, any farm facility, okay? We know that. We know that from the agriculture sector, and you've clarified across the horse sector that carries the very same way. And the animals in the fields have been inspected. You've clarified a number of times, helpfully, that there's a vet on site the day they're slaughtering, they're examining. The curious thing, I think committee members being curious as to, for whatever period of time they're in this shed, for hours or for a day or for minutes, that nobody looked in there. I think it's a very legitimate question, you know, and I don't think in fairness, not jumping on the bandwagon.
No.
Because this is where This is where the brutality, the alleged brutality, and what people saw was taking place.
I'll clarify.
No, I think you should withdraw.
I will withdraw.
And that was Michael Sheehan, as I say, the Deputy Chief Veterinarian at the Department of Agriculture, answering a question from Verona Murphy. And you also heard Brian Stanley, the Chair of the Public Accounts Committee, there on that clip. Now, there was another matter came up today, Aisling. Remind us of the payment from the Jockey Charity to the IHRB that went in to the account and went back out of the account, a substantial sum of money.
Indeed. So we learnt about a financial irregularity with the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board this time last year in front of the Public Accounts Committee. And there was no light shed on it last year when it was brought up. But all of a sudden, the day before the Public Accounts Committee, the Chief Financial Officer of the IHRB went on a voluntary leave. Now, since then, we've kind of been none the wiser as to what happened here with this financial issue. But this week we've learned that financial issue was a €350,000 transfer of money from the Jockeys Emergency Fund, which is a charity, which is the administration of that charity is dealt with by the IHRB. And money from that charity, €350,000, was put into the IHRB account in January 2022. Now, that was later put back into the Jockey Emergency Fund in April 2022. But I suppose the question is, why was that transfer made? Now, again, the chief executive of the IHRB couldn't shed light on that because it is the subject of an auditor's review by accountants and Mazars who are looking at this 10 months later. That's how long that investigation has been ongoing, and they couldn't shed further light on it. But what he could tell us today is that the chief financial officer, who went on leave this time last year after this issue arose, that he is still on voluntary leave. He is being paid, but he's not suspended. So that issue, we got a little bit more light on what that issue was there. But it's an issue of a significant concern. I suppose that issue, coupled with the issue that we were just talking about there with animal welfare concerns at one of the country's only abattoir, TD is talking today about how this amounts to a reputational damage for the horse racing industry in Ireland, an industry which supports over 30,000 jobs and contributes €2.46 billion to the Irish economy. So we heard a little bit more about that today, but more will come out about that once that investigation, as I said, by accountants in Mazars is completed.
All right. And one more issue before we go to the rest of the panel. Verona Murphy brought up the closure of the Race School in Kildare. This is an education facility for jockeys, jockey training school. 21 staff made redundant there. We're going to just play a clip of that before we come to you. This is Verona Murphy asking the Director of Equine Welfare and Bloodstock at Horse Racing Ireland, John Osborne, about that school.
We had a facility with 21 staff.
Because the facility was no longer fit for purpose
and
as a residential premises.
And they asked for your assistance, is that correct?
And our assistance is forthcoming and the transition is underway.
So your assistance is forthcoming? To the value of what?
Well, all those things are being discussed and deliberated
about. They wanted €1 million in emergency capital funding. Have you negotiated that? Yes or no?
The facility is still providing some element of service to the industry.
That's not the question. The question is, have you negotiated the emergency funding?
We are continuing to support Race to
you
deliver.
You are aware they let 21 staff go whilst these negotiations were ongoing then. Negotiations I'm unaware of, but that you're telling me there are. So have you negotiated the emergency funding to keep an accredited training course in place where you don't seem to have an alternative as yet?
Our ambition is to continue to provide jockey training as something we've been doing since 1973, for something which the rest of the racing world comes to Ireland to learn about, and yet we find ourselves with a campus which is not fit in the modern day for delivery of the type of education that we've delivered in the past.
And that was John Osborne finishing out that answer to a question to Verona Murphy. That gives you a flavour of some of the tone of what we heard today. I'm going to go to the politicians on the panel on this. To you first, James O'Connor, you were at the committee today and expressing some concern over a variety of things. First of all, going back to the first issue we looked at, the welfare of animals in that lairage near to the abattoir, Were you satisfied with the answers you got, at least in the explanation or and the intention expressed by the Department of Agriculture that they'll review their procedures and that they've done some soul searching?
Look, coming from a horse racing family and being a TD for a constituency where racing is exceptionally important in Cork East, and has been correctly identified, supports over 30,000 jobs and is worth $2.46 billion to our economy. The answers we got today from particularly the Department of Agriculture were extraordinarily concerning about their oversight. One point was correctly made today that we have only one abattoir facility in the entire country at present. There used to be more, now there is one. And it's very clear when it comes to end of life for any animal in Ireland, whether it's a racehorse, a pony, you know, cows, cattle, the Department of Agriculture have a regulatory role to oversee that process. And there has been, in my view, a very significant systems failure in this respect. And the point I wanted to get across today on behalf of people involved in horse racing in Ireland, the thousands upon thousands of people involved in racing, there is fury at the treatment of what we saw through the Primetime Investigates programme. I commend RTÉ for what they've done, for what they've identified. But, you know, I think the buck really does stop at the department's door, and we do need to see this being urgently addressed.
All right. If it is a systems failure, though, Clare Curran, the Michael Sheehan pointed out today that there are vets on the premises in any abattoir on the day of slaughter, and that's where they supervise the slaughter of animals. They're not there the night before when animals would be in the lairage. The animals that came to the abattoir didn't present with any welfare concerns that would make them try and do a background check. So they said under the circumstances and within their remit, they did the best they could, but there is now food for thought. Do you accept that?
Well, look, I think the department officials that were before PAC today were very clear in saying we were in the abattoir, and of that it is very obvious and clear that they were. But clearly there is need for oversight on any premises at that location where the animals are. And the animals do have time in that shed beforehand. That is obvious. But I think the priority now needs to be the investigation being finalised as quickly as possible, and with that, accountability and consequences for those involved. I got a reply from the minister yesterday in relation to similar abuses we saw of calves in Marts, again displayed by RTÉ Primetime Investigates last July. And the reply tells me they are still gathering evidence almost a year later in relation to that. So are they still going to be gathering evidence a year later in relation to this investigation on the horses? We also have a situation now where, with the abattoir closed, there is no premises for horses that are at their end of life, or those who own them are finished with them, to put it in those terms.
You might just explain the implications of that, because this means effectively that we're into more live animal exports, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And look, I mean, really at that point, there's two options. One is you end up abandoning the horse instead of it actually being humanely put down, or two, that you end up exporting it. Yes, and they're the two options. And the one in relation to abandonment is just as worrying as exporting. And that is why we need to see this investigation dealt with as quickly as possible. And looking at the one with the calves, I don't hold out much hope. But there are consequences to the abattoir being shut down. I had called at the time that the department would go in and run the abattoir until such time as the investigation was complete. There are consequences now to being shut down. But I really would welcome a timeline from the minister in relation to the completion of this investigation. Whoever is running this investigation department, have a time frame.
Is that a reasonable request, though? If, for example, the Gardaí are involved in one aspect of the investigation, it takes as long as it takes to gather the necessary information and, should it arise, send a file to the DPP, wait for it to be looked at there and come back. There is no real time, artificial timeline that can be set on that, is there?
And if that's the case, then we need to look at what happens to horses in the meantime. And then that means the department will have to put something in place. And I actually don't see why they couldn't have gone in and ran it, because what happens now to the horses that are there, I'm not sure. And if the investigation is going to take a year, then we have a serious problem.
Okay, Malachy O'Hara, a number of questions raised by both James O'Connor and Clare Curran, and indeed at the committee today. Do you add to them, or do you share those concerns?
Yeah, I think I broadly share the concerns of my colleagues. And I think in terms of this particular issue, you know, this is an industry, the horse racing industry, which is no shortage of private investment. And in addition to that, there's an extraordinary level of public investment on top of it. And I think the expectation for that public investment is good governance, financial management, and quick response in terms of any concerns raised. So I know my colleague at the PAC last year raised the concerns about the chief financial officer, and that's a year ago, and we're still waiting on the outworkings of those with the full Mazars report. So there are some challenges, and this doesn't really inspire public confidence in the industry. Now, I've no doubt that the vast majority of people involved in horse racing love and care deeply.
Sure, and I suppose it should be pointed out that Horse Racing Ireland only have governance over the welfare of horses during their working and racing life. By the time their racing life is finished and they're set for to be destroyed, the Department of Agriculture takes over at that point.
Yes, indeed. But I think in terms of the department, what we need to see is clear action about this. We need obviously some accountability for the investigation. We need to see that move forward as quickly as possible. And I think people are frustrated by, you know, these issues being raised a year ago and some concerns being flagged then, and then for this investigation to show the horrific treatment of animals in the Primetime Investigates last week.
All right, James O'Connor, the issue of funding. The committee chair, Brian Stanley, was pointing to the varying figures received by Horse Racing Ireland in 2022, 70 million, a decrease of 7 million compared. This is the gambling fund, a decrease of 7 million compared to 2021. HRI has other revenue streams, prize money contributions from owner, media income, a full levy. How do you think it should be funded?
Well, when it comes to the operation of Irish horse racing, I suppose I actually think that HRI's remit as it stands is how it should be kept. It's important to say that because HRI's duty is to manage the successful economic model and the prosperity of Irish racing, which is a globally dominant sporting force for us in the country. It's an exceptionally well worldwide. We're incredibly well regarded. Very much important from an economic standpoint, from employment. So HRI's responsibilities, I would respect the role that organisation has to play. I do think when it comes back to IHRB, when it comes to internal matters that have just been previously discussed, when it comes to the role that IHRB have in this model, I think that they could strengthen and do more. But the biggest concern of all I have is from a veterinary perspective, management within the Department of Agriculture around their role in protecting, you know, that crucial phase at the end of an animal's life. This is not just about racing. It's in every abattoir setting in Ireland across different sectors. And that has been what has been identified here. That to me is deeply concerning that, as we know, there was just one facility. The other thing that hasn't been discussed, and I did raise it today, just coming from a family involved in horse racing in Ireland, you know, that there is a multi-annual effect here where if the abattoir was to close down, we must remember that there was horses, foals born every spring in Ireland with the intention of racing within the turbid racing industry perspective. It takes until year 3 and 4 before they enter training and go racing. And their career in racing, obviously, it differs from animal to animal and from a breeding perspective as well. But when knee-jerk policy decisions are taken, such as what the department have done in terms of closing down, which seems to be no plan, and I teased that out of them today at this abattoir. What's going to happen next year and down the line? And to be fair, I was deeply critical of the deputy chief veterinary officer that was there today, but he did make one pertinent point in relation to what happened in America. There was an outcry.
This is where they closed it down, and the animals ended up going to Mexico and Canada,
and all hell broke loose. And from a welfare and an ethics perspective, it became far, far worse. And that's absolutely something that needs to be avoided at all costs, and every person involved, whether they're in horse racing, equestrian, pony riding, you know, anything to do with horse welfare and involved in horses in Ireland, love their animals, they want to care for them, and particularly at the end of an animal's life, we need to make sure that that is done correctly too.
All right. Before the end of an animal's life, Claire Curran, I think Sinn Féin called for the governance arrangement between the IHRB and Horse Racing Ireland for a bit more decoupling to take place there. This was on foot of a different doping scandal. What was the issue at hand that you saw, and what do you want solved by doing that, and how would that work?
Well, look, as James has said, and I think he's right, we do have a regulatory board that is there, and it's questionable how much power or how much of a role they actually play. There was a lot of movement of responsibility there today, and as you said, HRI said they're only responsible when the horse is racing. That's fair enough. The department are there as well, but I think there's a greater role for the regulatory board. They are getting significant funding, as you've mentioned. There is, for the first time in a long time now, an external independent review of that funding, the impact it has, because there is an economic benefit to all of that. But I think we need to look at all of this, the regulatory board, its functions, its powers, how it works, what it's doing. There's obviously financial issues there, and that report that's ongoing by Mazars has to be finalised. But I think we have to have an overall look now at HRI and the regulatory board. I know I sit on the Agricultural Committee. We have them in next week in relation to this matter. So, you know, we have all those issues. Then you have the issue of passports as well. And you mentioned the income HRI have. They've increased the cost of passports to horse owners as well, quite considerably. So they have a number of income streams. And I think there's probably a role here for PAC, continuing role, and a role for our committee as well.
There are multiple sources of income. Do you think that's coherent and sustainable? I mean, they talk today that one of their income streams, I think, is it up to 35%, a 35% increase to related to tote betting income at one point, but tote betting is not necessarily where people do their betting, you know, regardless of whether people agree with the practice of gambling and how that relates to sports funding. But that's one area that maybe doesn't have as sustainable a future as other areas.
Yeah, and that's why I think we really need to see a deep dive into the financials, the income from all streams. And I think rather than let this go now after the investigation is concluded, I think we actually really need to look at the funding, the income streams. I know many breeders and horse owners have been really annoyed in relation to the passports. It's been a real mess, and the increased cost has only added to that. So I think we need to take a greater look, and I think there's more of a role for PAC in this in terms of the finances right across the board, both for the regulatory board and for HRI as well.
All right. The last issue that I was speaking to Aisling Maloney about there just at the top, Mal O'Hara, was this issue of jockey training. I mean, it's important that jockeys receive the best of training, given that it's a highly hazardous sport. And yet we have a situation where 21 people were made redundant. The facility is not fit for purpose, and it seems that the training of jockeys and therefore their welfare is in real jeopardy.
Yeah, and I think that's a real challenge, and I think it speaks to the previous context we've talked about that review of governance and regulation and the financial model around horse racing. I mean, we know the contribution that it makes to the wider economy, and that's because of the jockeys and the horses and the industry around that. So what is our duty of care to those jockeys? How do we train them? How do we make sure they keep themselves safe? How do we make sure that post-retirement they're skilled for whatever they might need to do as they move on from the industry? And without the school to provide that, and the loss of the employment in that school is a real challenge. So I think it fits into the wider context of the review of this entire industry.
All right, just a quick comment from yourself, James O'Connor, and you, Claire Curran. This is clearly a welfare issue in the industry. It's not just animals that are in the industry.
There's people too, and I've been on site in races. I was in Mallow and a few other meetings where jockeys have been very seriously injured. And I have raised the importance of what this fund does for those jockeys and their families. And we must remember there's been many people have been paralysed within racing, have been very severely injured with lifelong injuries from racing. And to me, from looking into this, it seems to me very, very concerning that they saw fit to move a 350,000 pot of money. I asked the question today, why was it necessary to do that? We know we have the CFO who's been on paid leave now for over 12 months. I respect that they have to do an internal audit report. Mazars are carrying out that work.
And they also said they had a duty of care to protect the data of the person and the circumstances as to why. But anyway,
before committee, if you look what happened at RTE, we got a lot more answers. But I would have the view that from the racing community and people I'm speaking to, they want the IHRB to come clean and put this all to bid and get on with it. Right. There are thousands of people's jobs on the line that are depending on these organisations being run well, and the IHRB seem to be coming up time and time again as being problematic. And to be fair, they have a new chief executive in Dara O'Loughlin there, and I think he just needs to make it an executive decision here to put this matter to bed and publish the report.
All right, Claire Curran, but going back to, I suppose, the welfare of jockeys who are possibly in the most hazardous situation after the horses in the industry. I mean, it's not uncommon for jockeys to end their careers with no collarbone, no spleen, and they might just be the lucky ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I suppose it comes back to how money is spent, and particularly the taxpayers' money that is paid and does go into horse sport and horse racing. And I'd really like to get more of a breakdown and transparency from where that money is going, because
To be more conditional?
Well, I'd like to get a list, firstly. I don't see any reason why they can't provide what they spend that cohort of the money on. I think they should be expected to do that. They don't, but I think they should be providing that. And yeah, I think we do need more clarity. And look, all of this now has put a spotlight on it once again. And I think we just need to make sure now that the issues there are dealt with once and for all. And we need to see that external independent report on the taxpayers' money, that fund that is going to them. And I really would like to see how that's spent and where it's going.
All right. Aisling, just to end, there is a meeting next week, a remote meeting with the European Commission and the Department of Agriculture. Who's going to be at it and why has it been held?
Yes, so the on foot of the issues that were identified, as we said, in the Primetime Investigates report, it's thrown up a slew of issues around Europe, around the traceability of horse meat and what's getting into the food chain, which should not be there. And so the EU Commission has scheduled a meeting of the EU Agri-Food Network next week on Wednesday to address the issues of traceability that were identified. And then members of the Agri-Food Network includes representatives of the Food Safety Authority in Ireland and the Department of Agriculture. And they're expected to discuss the need for organising EU coordinated investigations into horse slaughter and the risk of horses unfit for human consumption entering the food chain of member states, which was identified in several states. Ireland, Italy and others across Europe through the Investigates programme.
All right. Claire Curran, you said you're meeting stakeholders in the horse racing industry next week. Are the Department of Agriculture amongst them, and will it be, is it after that meeting on Wednesday that you'll be meeting them? Do you know?
They are coming before the committee, and so too are the Department of Agricultural officials as well, next Wednesday evening at 5:30. So okay. I'm not
sure. Potentially it's something.
Yes.
Okay.